A darkness enfoldeth us, thicker than thy veil which enfoldeth thee, thou purest one. And darkness is bound upon our eyes, so that they see not beyond themselves, and are blind. But it is only they, thanks be to God, and not one of our other senses, for we hear each other when we speak, and the darkness cannot part us more. Tell me, my soul, thou too art enraptured by the greatness of this hour? I am thine in bliss, dear Lord, she softly said. That might have been Leah who spoke, thy older sister, he answered. Not according to the sense, of course, but in the way of speaking. The voices of sisters are alike, indeed, and words come from their mouths with the same sound, for the same father begot them, upon the same mother, and they are a little distinguished in time, and move with separate movement, yet are one in the womb of their origin. Lo, I am afraid a little at my own blind words, for I had lightly said that the darkness hath no power over our speech, yet I feel, after all, that it presseth hard upon my words, and sinketh into them, so that I fear somewhat before them. Let us be glad of the distinction, that thou art Rachel, and I Jacob, and not, for instance, Esau, my red brother. My forefathers and I, at night beside the flocks, have pondered much upon the person of God, who he is, and our children and our children's children will follow us in our musings. But I, at this hour, will say, and make clear my words, that the darkness may roll back away from them. God is the distinction. And therefore, now I lift thy veil, beloved, that I may see thee with seeing hands, and I lay it carefully upon this chair that is here, for it is priceless with pictures, and shall be handed down through generations, and be worn by beloved ones without number. Lo, here is thy hair, black but comely. I know it so well. I know the fragrance of it. I carry it to my lips. And what power hath darkness over it? It cannot come in between my lips and thy hair. Here are thine eyes, smiling night in the night, and their tender sockets, and the soft places beneath them, where so many a time I have kissed away the impatient tears, and my lips were wet from them. Here are thy cheeks, soft as down, and the costliest wool of goats from strange lands. Here thy shoulders, which feel to mine hands larger than I see them in the day, and here thine arms, and here... He ceased, as his seeing hands left her face and found her body and the skin of her body. Ishtar pierced them both to the marrow. The bull of heaven breathed, and its breath was as the breath of both that mingled. And all that windy night did Jacob find the child of Laban a glorious mate, great in delights and mighty to conceive. And she received him many times, and again, so that they counted no more. But the shepherds answered one another that it was 9 times. Later he slept on the ground beside her, for the bed was narrow, and he gave her room and comfort for her rest, sleeping himself crouching beside the bed, with his cheek against her hand that hung over the edge. The morning dawned. Dim, red, and hushed it stood before the windows, and slowly filled with light the bridal chamber. It was Jacob who first awaked, from the daylight between his lids, and from the stillness, for until deep into the night the feasting had continued, with much laughter and noise in house and court, and only toward morning, when the bridal pair already slept, had quiet descended. And also he was uncomfortable, though how joyfully, and waked the easier. He stirred and felt her hand, remembering everything, and turned his mouth to kiss it, then raised his head to see his dear one in her slumbers. With eyes heavy and sticky from sleep, still unwilling to focus, He looked at her, and it was Leah. He dropped his eyes and shook his head with a smile. Ah, thought he, while even then a chill crept round his heart and into the pit of his stomach. What madness! What a morning after mockery! Darkness was hung before mine eyes, and now that they are unblinded, they see false things. Are then sisters so mysteriously alike and show it in their sleep, though no likeness shows itself in their features? Let me look again. But he did not look, because he feared to, and what he said to himself was only a panic-struck gabbling. He had seen that she was blonde, and her nose somewhat red. He rubbed his eyes with his knuckles and forced himself to look. It was Leah who lay and slept. The thoughts tumbled over each other in his head. How came Leah here? And where was Rachel, whom they had brought in unto him, and whom he had known this night? He staggered backwards away from the bed into the middle of the room, and stood there in his shirt, his fists to his cheeks. Leah! He screamed, in a strangled voice. She sat up at once. She blinked, smiled, and dropped her eyelids, as he had so often seen her do. One shoulder and breast were bare. They were white and beautiful. Jacob, my husband, she said, let it be so, according to the Father's will, for he would have it so, and so arranged it, and the God shall give me that to make thee thank both him and them. Leah, he stammered, and he pointed to his throat, his breast, and his brow. Since when is it thou? Always it was I, she answered, and I was thine this night, ever since I entered in the veil. And always I was tender towards thee, and ready as Rachel, since I saw thee from the roof. And have I not proved it to thee the whole of this night? For say thyself if I have not served thee as well as any woman could, and been strong in desire. And certain am I in my inwards that I have conceived from thee. And it shall be a son, strong and brave, and we shall call his name Reuben. Then Jacob cast back and bethought himself how he had taken her for Rachel this night. And he went to the wall, and laid his arm along it, and his forehead on his arm, and wept bitterly. Thus for some while he stood, torn by his emotions, and each time the thought returned, how he had believed and had known her, how all his joy had been delusion, and the hour of fulfillment turned to shame, for which he had served and conquered the time. It was with him as though his stomach and his brain turned over within him, and he despaired with his whole soul. But Leah knew no more to say, and only wept likewise from time to time, as she had done the day before with Rachel, for she saw how little it had been she who had again and again received him, and only the thought that she would now, in all probability, have a fine son named Reuben came to strengthen her heart. Then he left her and rushed out of the chamber. He had almost stumbled over the sleepers that lay everywhere outside, in house and court, in the disorder from the feast, on covers and mats, or on the bare ground, sleeping off their debauch. Laban! He cried, and stepped over forms that emitted surly grunts, stretched out, and snored again. Laban! He repeated more quietly, for torment and bitterness and the fierce demand for a reckoning did not slay in him all consideration for these sleepers in the early morning after the heavy feasting. Laban, where art thou? And came before the master's chamber, where he lay with Adinah, his wife, knocked, and cried, Laban, come forth! What? What? Answered Laban from within. Who is it calleth me in the early dawn, after I have been sleeping? It is I. Thou must come out, Jacob cried. Oh, indeed, said Laban. So it is my son-in-law that calleth, and saith, aye, like a child, as though one could tell from that alone who he is. But I know the voice, and will come forth to hear what he hath to tell to me in the dawning, though just then I was enjoying my best sleep, and came forth in his shift with rumpled hair and blinking. I was asleep, he repeated. such a deep sleep, and doing me so much good. How comes it thou thyself sleepest not, or dost according to thy new state?"
"It is Leah," said Jacob, with trembling lips.
"Of a surety," replied Laban. "And callest thou me in the grey dawn out of beneficent slumber after heavy drinking to tell me what I know as well as thou?"
"Thou monster! Thou tiger! Thou devilish man!" cried Jacob, beside himself. "I tell thee not that thou mayest know it, but to show thee I know it, and to bring thee to accounting in my torment."
"Take care of thy voice above all, then," said Laban, "that thou lowerest it considerably. That I counsel thee, if thou lettest not thyself be counseled by the plain circumstances. For not enough that I am thy uncle and father-in-law, and thy master to boot, whom it beseemeth not to breathe upon with cries of murder, but also house and court lie full of sleeping guests, as thou seest, who in a few hours will go out with me to the hunt, and take their pleasure in the wild and in the reedy places of the swamps, where we will set snares for birds, the partridge and the bustard, or slay a wild boar, that we may pour out a tribute of liquor to him. Thereto my guests strengthen themselves in slumber, and I mar it not, and in the evening the drinking bout shall go on. But thou, when on the fifth day thou issuest out of the bride's chamber, shall join with us in the pleasures of the chase."
"No pleasures can there be for me in the chase," answered Jacob, "and my poor senses do not set that way, which thou hast confused and brought to shame, so that they cry out from earth to heaven. For thou hast deceived me beyond all bounds with cruelty and shamelessness, and hast privily brought in Leah to me, thy elder daughter, in the place of Rachel, for whom I have served thee. How shall I then deal with thee and with me?"
"Hearken now," said Laban. "There are words which thou hadst best not take upon thy tongue, and should shame thyself to utter them aloud. For in Amuru land there sits, as I know, a shaggy-haired man, who weeps and tears his fleece, and seeks after thy life, and he it is might well speak of deception. It is unpleasant when a man must blush for another man, because he blusheth not for himself, and thus standeth it at the moment between thee and me, because of thy ill-chosen words. Sayest thou I have betrayed thee? In what respect? Have I brought in unto thee a bride who is no longer unspotted, and unworthy to mount the seven stairs into the arms of the god? Or have I brought thee one deformed and incapable in body, or who cried out at the hurt thou gavest her, and was not willing and serviceable to thee in thy lust? Is it after this fashion I have betrayed thee?"
"No," Jacob said, "not after such a fashion. Leah is great in conceiving. But thou hast gone behind me and duped me, and made it so that I did not see, and took Leah for Rachel throughout the night, and I have given to the wrong one my soul and all the best of my strength, so that it repenteth me beyond my power to utter. This, thou wolf-man, hast thou done unto me."
"And thou callest it betraying, and shamelessly likenest me to wild beasts and evil spirits, because I held with the custom, and as a righteous man did not presume to reject that which is sacred and traditional? I know not how such things are in Amuru land, or in the country of King Gog, but in our land we give not the younger before the elder. That would be to smite tradition in the face, and I am a respectable man and law-abiding. Thus did what I did, and dealt wisely against thy unreason, and like a father who knoweth what is owing to his children. For thou hast bluntly affronted my love to my eldest born, saying to me, 'Leah speaketh not unto my manly desires,' and therefore hast thou not deserved a correction, and called down upon thee an admonishment? For now thou hast seen whether she speaketh to thy manly desires or no."
"I have seen nothing at all," Jacob cried. "It was Rachel whom I embraced."
"Yes, so the dawning hath proven," answered Laban mockingly. "But the truth is that Rachel, my little one, hath nothing whereover to complain. For the reality was Leah's, but the intent was Rachel's.
And now have I also taught thee the intent for Leah, and whichsoever thou embracest in the future, there will be the reality as well as the intent.
Wilt thou then give me Rachel? Jacob asked.
Of a surety, answered Laban. If thou wilt have her, and pay me the legal price, thou shalt have her.
But Jacob cried, I have served thee for Rachel 7 years.
Thou hast, responded Laban with dignity and solemnity, served me for a child. Wilt thou now have the second, as would be agreeable unto me? Then must thou pay again.
Jacob was silent. After a little while he said, I will obtain the buying price and see to it that I contribute the dowry. I will borrow a mina of silver from people with whom I deal in trade, and I will likewise pay for presents to hang on the bride's girdle, for some possessions have naturally and without my will cleaved unto me in this long time, and I am of more substance than when I first wooed for Rachel.
Again thou speakest without any delicacy, answered Laban, with a smug shake of the head, and foolishly bringest things to speech which it were better to bury in thy bosom. Thou shouldst rather be glad if others also keep silent and dwell not upon them to rebuke thee for them, instead of shouting them aloud and making it so that a man must be ashamed for thee, since thou art not for thyself. I will hear nothing of unexpected possessions and provocations of that sort. I will have no silver of thee as dowry, and no gear from whomever it be as presents for the bride. But rather shalt thou serve me for the second child, as long as for the first.
Wolf man, cried Jacob, hardly restraining himself, and thou wilt give me Rachel only after another 7 years?
Who hath said so? Countered Laban, superiorly. Who hath even so much as suggested such a thing? Thou alone pratest without any reason, and in thy haste comparest me to a werewolf. For I am a father, and I will not that my child pine after the man until he is old. Go thou now to thy right place, and keep thy week and thine honor. Then shall the second be given thee in all stillness, and thou shalt serve me as her husband another 7 years.
Jacob hung his head and was silent.
Thou art silent, Laban said, and canst not bring it over thyself to fall at my feet. Truly, I am curious whether I shall yet succeed to awaken thy heart to thankfulness. That I stand here in the dawning in my shift, disturbed out of my most needful slumber, and deal with thee, it seems is not enough to engender in thee such a feeling. I have not mentioned yet that with the second child thou receivest likewise the second maid which I bought. For to Leah I give Zilpah as dowry, and to Rachel Bilhah, and 2/3 of the mina of silver that I give thee shall be reckoned in. Thus thou hast 4 wives overnight, and a women's house like the king of Babel, thou that sattest so lately barren and forlorn.
Jacob still kept silence. Thou cruel man, he said at last with a sigh, thou knowest not what thou hast done unto me. Thou knowest and thinkest not on it, I must believe, nor can have any imagining of it in thy iron heart. I have squandered my soul and all the best of me upon the wrong woman this night, and that crusheth my heart together at thought of the right one for whom it was meant. And I shall have to do with Leah all the week. And when my flesh is weary, for I am only human, and it is sated, and my soul all too drowsy for high feelings, then shall I be given the right one, Rachel, my treasure. And thou thinkest it is good so. But that can never be made good, which thou hast done to me, and to Rachel thy child, and even unto Leah, who sitteth there upon her bed in tears, because I had her not in my mind.
Dost thou mean, Laban asked, that after the marriage week with Leah, thou wilt have no more manhood left to make fruitful the second?
Not that, may God forbid, answered Jacob.
All the rest is whimsies and moonshine, concluded Laban. Art satisfied with our new contract? And shall it be so or no between me and thee?
Yea, it shall be so, said Jacob, and went back to Leah.